of Revelation and chapter number 13. I began a message last Sunday on the mark of the beast and the final tattoo. I want to continue that message. We got through about half of that, and I'll go back. Some of you were not here last Sunday. I'll try to go back and pick a little bit of that up. I will say we have it on tape. Several of you have asked for copies, and we'll be glad to get you a copy there. Brother Keith has run some, but didn't turn out well. If you got one that didn't turn out well, let us know. We'll make you another one. But if it's a help to you, we'll be sure to get you that. And then we'll continue that message today. I want you to be turning your Bibles to Revelation chapter number 13. Beloved, I believe that we're living in the very last days. Amen? I'm not here today to try to scare you. I'm not here today to try to be a sensational preacher. I'm not here to try to shock you. I hope and pray that if you're saved, that you've got everything packed up, looking up, because he's coming. If you're not saved, you better get ready. I don't believe we've got as much time that you think we might. I believe, beloved, that we are living in the very last days. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Well, I believe if you read your Bible, you'll see and look at the world's events, the things that are happening. I believe you can just see some of those things that are coming to pass. I'm not a date setter, but the Bible said that of the times and seasons, knows no man when the coming of the Lord is, but you'll be able to discern those. You'll be able to tell when some of those prophecies are being fulfilled. I believe we're seeing that. One of the things I want to be preaching to you, we talked last Sunday about this economy situation, the world's economy, how that it's a global effect. Many of the banks and things across the world are now, the newspapers are saying they're falling, and the world's condition is looking grim. I believe, beloved, that is just another indication that we're headed towards, number one, a cashless economy. Number two, we're headed towards a world a government system with a world money system. And that comes into play in Revelation chapter 13. And if you've got your Bibles handy there, we'll read a few verses of Scripture. Would you stand please with me and begin reading in verse number 11. I'll do my best in the time we have to try to explain a lot of this. It takes a lot of time, and I hope my wife, those of you here Wednesday night, my wife told me, she said, she's my best critic, amen? But she said, slow down, you're going too fast. And I might have left some of you in the dust. I hope I didn't leave you in the dust. I'll try to go back and dust you off and bring you back up. But there's a lot to say, and I guess I get excited and then talk too fast. But anyway, notice in verse 11 of chapter 13, and John said, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, he said in verse 11, another beast, meaning one just like that he had already seen in verse number 1. We'll talk about that. In verse number 1 of chapter 13, that's Antichrist. The Bible said that a beast coming up out of the sea. In verse 11, he said a beast coming up out of the earth. Now, this is Antichrist's counterpart. You have, as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you're going to have an unholy trinity. You're going to have the Antichrist, you're going to have the beast, and the false prophet. All these are real men, and the Bible describes them. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But now, in verse 11, he said, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spake as a dragon. He exercises all power of the first beast before him, causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. We'll talk about that again, and goes back to verse number 3 of chapter 13. And he does great wonders, so he maketh fire come down from heaven on the sight of men, deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, and they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by his sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might be able to buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast and the number of his name. Herein is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, For as the number of man, his number is 666. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Pray with me, please. Father, open our hearts of understanding. Illuminate our minds. Show us the infallible, inerrant word of God this morning. Touch every heart that's present. Help us to realize, indeed, Lord, that we're living on the very, very verge of the coming of Christ. And Father, help us to be busy about our Master's business. Lord, help us not to sleep as others do, but Lord, help us to be awake and sober, looking for that day when the coming of Christ is here. Now bless this time we have together. Make us to understand thy word. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen and amen. You may be seated, beloved. Keeping your Bible open, and then I'll ask you to be turning also back to the book of 2 Thessalonians for just a moment. So find 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 2, just a moment. We'll read that together. Now, last Sunday morning, we began this message on the mark of the beast and the final tattoo. Now, the Bible tells us here in chapter number 13 that there is going to, in that age of tribulation, there's going to rise a man that's a world dictator. By the name of Antichrist, we know him. You say, preacher, do you think that he's alive today? I think it's a good possibility. You see, beloved, when the Lord comes in the rapture, as we sang about this morning, and by the way, there's nothing that has to happen. There's nothing that has to take place before the Lord comes for his church. Now, hear me out. When the Lord comes in the rapture, only the saved will hear his voice. Only those ready to meet Christ will go out to meet him in the clouds. Those that have died and been buried in this earth, they'll be resurrected. They'll meet the Lord in the air. And as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And those that are left behind, they'll endure that great tribulation period, that 7 years the Bible describes. And my friend, let me tell you, it'll be a horrible time on this earth. You would not want to be here when Jesus comes and left behind. It'll be a great, horrible time. We won't have time to go into that this morning, but a time, as the Bible describes, a time of Jacob's trouble, a time that which this world has never seen. You think it might get bad? Oh, listen, beloved, it will get worse. Now, that tribulation is divided into two 3.5-year segments. In the first half of that tribulation period, it'll be a time of peace and prosperity. And if Christ will come on the scene, the Bible describes him in Revelation chapter 6 as he comes riding on a white horse, speaking peace and safety. There'll be a peace treaty signed with the nation of Israel. Everybody will lay down their arms. And for the first 3.5 years, things will be at peace. But beloved, anything the devil does, he only does for a short period. Any kind of peace that he might offer you is only for a short time. And this is where we pick up reading in chapter number 13. In chapter 13, Antichrist is now in power. You say, preacher, how has he been elevated to power? I believe that he'll be elevated to power by the European common market nations. I believe that's in effect as we speak today, that he'll come through an economic collapse of this world. I believe we're on the verge of seeing some of those things happening. Now, just a moment. Turn back with me, please. I ask you to find, if you would, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. For the sake of time, I want to show you a couple of things here out of 2 Thessalonians. First of all, rest assured that when this time we're going to be preaching about comes to pass, the child of God that's saved is going to be gone. The Bible describes it. There'll be two in the bed. One will be taken, one will be left. There'll be two, I believe, two men in an airplane. One will be taken out, one will be left behind. There'll be a man and a woman, a husband and wife. One will be taken, one will be left behind. As the rapture takes place, the Christians of this world are going to leave out. Immediately following that, the Bible said there'll be a great deception. Oh, listen, friend, you sit here this morning and say, preacher, I'll be able to get saved once the Lord comes. No, sir, I don't believe you will. If you're hearing my voice today and you're understanding what I'm saying, when the Bible says when the Lord comes, I believe you'll have a strong delusion. You'll not want to be saved. You'll not have that desire to be saved. Let me show you something in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And Paul said this to the church of Thessalonica. There were some folks that said, we've missed it. The Lord's come back and we've missed it. Paul said, no, you haven't missed it. He hadn't come yet. And he said there in chapter 2, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him, that you soon not be shaken in mind or troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us. For as that day of Christ is at hand, somebody had written a false letter and signed it. The Apostle Paul sent it to the church of Thessalonica and said, the rapture's taking place and you're left behind. And it upset the church. And Paul said, no, sir, I didn't write that. Somebody else mimicked me and sent a counterfeit. He said, now here's what's going to happen. Let no man deceive you. Now, beloved, I believe we're living in an age of deception. Listen to what I'm about to say. I believe we're living in an age of Antichrist. I believe, my friend, the spirit of Antichrist, deception, lies and deception. The folk today are deceived. I believe that. They're deceived into thinking that one, they can do good, and one day, if their good outweighs their bad, they can go to heaven. That's a lie of the devil. Amen? You'll never get inside of heaven's gates by doing good. All of us are a wretched sinner. Oh, listen, by the blood of Jesus, you're saved, not by good works. Now, read on. Now, Paul said this, let no man deceive you, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Dr. Oliver B. Green said this. He said there's only two people mentioned in the Bible as the son of perdition. One, as Paul describes the Antichrist, the other person, or the person that Dr. Oliver B. Green said, was Judas Iscariot. Jesus said that Judas Iscariot, he called him the son of perdition. Dr. Green goes on to say that he believes that even that Judas Iscariot may be resurrected and be the Antichrist. I don't know that, but Dr. Green believed that. And he said that the son of perdition referred to Judas Iscariot. One thing's for sure, I won't be around to find out, amen? There ain't any pictures of Judas Iscariot. I don't know, but it's a good possibility. But anyway, let's read on. And he said, who opposed and exalted himself above God? Now watch this. Here it is in verse 4. This is what I want to get to. He said in verse 4 that he opposes and exalted himself above God as worship, so that he as God. That's it. Antichrist will declare himself to be God. And the Bible said, setteth him in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In your Bibles, you can write down there, Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus himself said this in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. Matthew 24, 15. You don't need to turn there and read it. We don't have the time. But Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation as spoken by Daniel the prophet, he said, if you're living, you better flee. You better run to the hills. Because this is what he says, that's the point, that Antichrist will set himself in the temple of God. He will proclaim, I am him, I'm Messiah, I'm Christ, I'm God. And you say, preacher, how's that going to happen? Go back to Revelation 13. Let me tie this together, Revelation chapter 13. Now here in chapter 13, verse 1, John said this, I saw that beast coming up out of the sea. And when he refers to the sea, he's referring to the sea of humanity. Always changing, boisterous, calm one day, turbulent the next. And friend, let me tell you something. You've seen that in our world's condition, haven't you? I mean, it can be calm, and all of a sudden, one little thing will happen. All of a sudden, stock market starts falling, and pandemonium goes into crisis. Now watch this. Antichrist there, he comes up. And we won't have time to go into everything here, but now notice in verse number 3, I believe that Antichrist, I believe, my friend, that he'll be assassinated. The Bible said there in verse number 3, and he said, I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death. I was sitting in my house. I believe I was sick. I can't remember why, but back many years ago, I was sitting in my house watching the news one day, and as I was watching the news, it was the Egyptian president Anwar Sadat, and there was a procession, there was a parade that was going on, and they were showing this on television. This was many years ago. As they were showing it on TV, a man jumped out with a hand grenade and jumped in and assassinated and killed Anwar Sadat. Right there, you saw it on television. That was 20 years ago, I guess. And beloved, I believe here the Bible said, verse 3, all Antichrist, he'll be assassinated. Now watch this. And all the world wondered after the beast. They saw that deadly wound. But now notice something. And they said that deadly wound was healed in verse number 3. And he said one of his heads is wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. I believe it'll be at that point that Antichrist, he'll be assassinated. And then the world will view that body and they'll see him killed. And then all of a sudden, I believe he'll rise to life. And then people will say, he must be God. And he'll say, yes, sir, you're right. I'm he. I'm the one you've been looking for. And he'll go to the temple of God, sit down on God's throne in the temple of David and proclaim himself to be God. Now, read on. In verse number 5, and here the Bible said, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. You see, the first 3.5 years was a time of peace. Second 3.5 years will be a time of bloodshed. That's when Antichrist will step into the temple and claim himself to be God. And then, my friend, all destruction will take place. The great plagues will fall upon this earth at second half. Men will seek death, the Bible says, and death will flee from them. But now here's what I want to get to. In the latter part of chapter 13, and the Bible said there that there was another beast that rose up out of the earth. Here is Antichrist's counterpart. You have the Antichrist, and the Bible describes him as the dragon. You have the beast, as the Bible describes him. He is the political and the economic ruler. And the third one is the false prophet. He'll be the world religious ruler. Now, we talked a little bit last Sunday about the emergence of the beast, number one. Number two, the power of the beast. And what we want to get to today is the miracles of the beast. And then last of all, the mark of the beast. And so if you are with us last Sunday, you'll remember where we left off at. Now, let's go back in the chapter number 13 and verse 13 and pick up reading there, the miracles of the beast. Here, we've read to your hearing in verse 14, and he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and the earth in the sight of man. Now this person we're talking about here, this false prophet, he will be the PR man for Antichrist. Once Antichrist is assassinated and rise back to life, this man will say, now world, he's the one you've been looking for. He's the one that you'll need to worship. Now notice what happens. And the Bible said in verse number 24, Matthew, we'll go back to there in just a second. Here he says in verse number 13, 14, that he will use his miraculous working power to deceive the world into accepting his message. Look what he does. In verse number 13, he has great wonders. And the word wonders is signs or miracles. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And he said that great miracles, great signs, so he maketh fire come down from heaven. He will mimic what the apostles did back in the Old Testament. When Elisha called fire down from heaven, he'll mimic what he did. And people will say, hey, he must be of God. Beloved, let me tell you something. Everything that is in the name of God is not of God. Amen? Beware. The Bible said, now I want to show you something. Turn back to Matthew chapter 24. Keep your finger there for just a minute. I want to show you something. Jesus himself said that in that age there'll be a great mystery. There'll be a great miracles. And in fact, the Bible said that Jesus himself said that there will be a spirit of Antichrist that will deceive the people that's living here. And look in Matthew 24 and verse 11. Jesus is talking and he said, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Jesus went on to say that because of this, that look back in verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You'll hear of wars, rumors of wars. And he goes on to talk about that. And he said that that here many will be deceived, even to the point that he said that several would even be to the elect's sake. Look in verse 24. There's where I want to get to. He said, there arise false Christs, false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. In other words, Jesus said that these counterfeit people, they'll be able to work signs and wonders to the very point that if you were a Christian and you were to see that, you'd say that must be of God. Now, my friend, how do you say, I believe our God is a miracle-working God. Amen? Amen? Nothing is impossible with God. But now you say, preacher, how can you tell that if it's real or not? How can a so-called miracle either be a real miracle or not? Here it is. The difference is in the message of the one that performs the miracle. The difference is the message that goes along with that. And beloved, in Deuteronomy chapter 13, you find the test for miracles. I don't have time to go into all that. You can read that. But the message is the key component. And here, as the Bible teaches us, that the message, if it doesn't link up with the Bible, then it's not of God. Amen? All right, let's move on. Now, go back to Revelation. Here, this man, that he'll call fire down from heaven. The heavens will be set ablaze. He'll make the sky burn red, perhaps in modern time, in modern language. Perhaps it'll be an atomic explosion that'll take place in the atmosphere. It'll rain fire down from heaven. And now here's the key component. Now notice what happens. In verse number 15, once Antichrist has been assassinated, this false prophet, they will construct an image of the beast, or an image of Antichrist. In verse 15, he had power to give life to the image of the beast. And here, beloved, is that he will cause the world to fall down and worship this image. And, beloved, he has power in order to have this image to speak, be able to talk, be able to carry on a conversation. But it'll be an inanimate object. You might say, well, preacher, that's pretty far-fetched, isn't it? No, sir. It's already has been in the works for some time. You can open the car door. Many of you may have one of these chips in your automobile. It'll tell you your door is open or your light's left on. You're too drunk to drive or whatever else. Some of you have seen, they got a new one out now. They got two keys, one for kids, teenagers, and one for adults. You stick one key in there, and it'll only go so fast for the teenager, and you get mom and dad's key, and you can open her up. But you got all kind of the technology today. Many of you, I know of a young man who was paralyzed, and he has a computer that he can talk to, and that computer will write for him. We have that technology even today. It's no longer science fiction, but it's scientific fact. Today, my friend, we have on the market today, we have certain technology implementation that is downright scary when you think about certain computers that could actually talk with you and talk to you and be able to react to you. I had a video that Honda came out with, this walking, talking computer. Several years ago. And beloved, it's here. And we see that, how that could happen. And here the Bible said that Antichrist will proclaim himself to be God. False prophet will cause the world to bow down to worship. You say, preacher, I'll never do that. Well, here's what will happen to you. In verse number 15, you'll be hunted down like an animal and you'll be killed. Verse 15, all those that would not worship the image of this should be killed. You say, I'll hide out. They won't be able to track me. I'll go to the mountains. I'll hide somewhere. They will not be able to find me. That brings me down to the fourth point, the mark of the beast. Now notice something, verse 16. In verse 16, and he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free or bond, receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. You might say, preacher, why? Why the right hand? Why the forehead? I can't prove this. I don't know for certain. I have a theory. Some years ago, I went in Food Line, and I was getting a pack of hamburger buns. And the lady took those hamburger buns, and as you go into the store today, of course, you run across that infrared scanner. She ran across there for that barcode. It wouldn't scan. And she did it two or three times. She finally said, you know something? Unless it's flat, it won't scan that good. And she punched the numbers in. I thought myself, you know something? Isn't that amazing, the two flat places on your body, and your forehead and the back of your hand? Here, the Bible goes, listen to verse 16, and the Bible said in verse 16, he calls us all, not just a few, everybody, everywhere, to receive both small and great, rich and poor, free or bond, receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Now, what's the purpose of that? Number one is for identification. Number two, you can't buy, sell, trade. You can't do anything without that mark of the beast. Now you might say, preacher, they would never want a tattoo across their head. They never want something on their hand. I didn't say it'd be seen to the naked eye. We've got the technology today. In fact, in verse 17, that no man might be able to buy, sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now the word mark there in chapter 13, verse 16, is synonymous with the word seal. In ancient of days, the emperor would take a signet ring and melt wax and drip the wax onto a document, take his ring and press into that, and it would be a seal upon that document. Now remember, this false prophet is a counterfeit and a counterpart to the Holy Spirit. Just as God's children are sealed to the day of redemption, and thank God for that, amen. I am sealed to the day of redemption. When Jesus comes in the clouds, he's going to break the seal, and hallelujah, I'm going out to meet him. Until that day, I am sealed from all the devil's forces and the demons of hell. I am sealed by God's Holy Spirit, amen. And just as the Christian is sealed by the Holy Spirit, this will be an imitator. The devil is going to turn this world into one giant concentration camp. Everybody will have the name and number of the beast. It'll either be in the forehead or either on the right hand. It not necessarily have to be visible. It's not something you have to walk around. You can go down to some of the theme parks like Six Flags and get your hand stamped. You'll have a tattoo that's invisible to the naked eye, but visible to a special light. Look in verse 17. And the Bible said, no man might be able to sell or buy or sell, save he had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. This system here will allow the electronic transfer of funds, allowing transactions to take place without the exchanging of currency. You realize today that we're fastly approaching a cashless economy. I heard on the news. I did not make this up. I heard on the news. Many of you may have your investments at Wachovia. I heard on the news. They ran it across the news that the federal government told Wachovia that day, you better find a buyer because they had a silent run on the bank. There were so many people who were going to pull their money out. There wouldn't have been enough cash to go.